Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Cedric the Entertainer has made a career of making people laugh. However, one thing he takes seriously is giving back. We'll be talking with him about that just a little bit later. But first, a look at what life can be like for military men and women who have given to their country. There are some who see an apparent disconnect between the men and women in our military's active service, as well as our veterans, and the rest of society. A panel discussion will be held this evening at the University of Missouri St. Louis titled Assessing the Impact of Our All-Volunteer Military, Finding Connections with Our Service Members and Veterans. With me to discuss the issue is James Craig. He's a retired Army Lieutenant Colonel who chairs the Department of Military and Veteran Studies at the University of Missouri St. Louis. Timothy Welter is a former staff member of the House Veterans Affairs Committee. He is with the American Enterprise Institute. Thank you, gentlemen, so much for being with us. Nice to have you here.
Thanks for having us, Don.
Jim, let me start with you.
Sure.
I think we have to establish that there is no question that Americans have ample gratitude for our military men and women. That's not what this is about.
That is not what this is about, and there is no question that Americans show and are very thankful for their military. I mean, we really see nothing like it in our history in this time period right now.
And yet there is this gap.
Well, there is a gap because Americans also don't have a great understanding of what it is our military does. They know they do it. They know they do it well. They're proud of what the military does, but not many actually choose military service. So there is a gap. There's a gap of understanding, not of appreciation, but of understanding.
Tim, it's hard to believe that in this day of age, with the communications the way that they are in our country and around the world, that people don't fully understand what our military folks go through.
I would agree with you on that, especially when you're seeing social media pictures, videos coming directly from the front. There's veterans expressing and active military expressing their feelings, what they're experiencing minute by minute. So I do agree with you on that point, that it is amazing in today's day and age that that there is a disconnect and there is a gap that we have, even though these folks are living among us and with us every day.
You both have gone through this transition, correct?
Yes, sir.
I'll start with you, Tim. Tell us about your experience. What did you experience in this transition?
So I left active duty in 2005, and I knew that I was going to go to the reserve. I'm still a reservist. And I would say overall, the experience was positive. I kind of had an idea of what I wanted to do. But without a doubt, it was kind of daunting to face a job situation or look for a job, and there's some challenges there. And since then, I've had to relearn some things that, I went right from high school to the Air Force Academy, right into active duty service. So there are certain things about the private job industry and job market that I didn't know. So there are some challenges there that I had to become exposed to. On the same front, all of a sudden you're responsible for certain things like your medical care and other things that you don't necessarily think about or have to worry about. So, and those are some of the challenges I think that our veterans face. You have that loss of camaraderie. You don't have that unit cohesion. People that on a daily basis understand what you have gone through. So you think about those things. And the reserve, I was able to continue to have some of that experience, but not on a daily basis. And so I think a lot of our veterans and the folks who have transitioned, I think that's one of the key pieces that they struggle to maintain or find is, how do I become a part of the community that I'm in? How do I replace that camaraderie that I had in the uniform that I no longer have moving forward? And how do I translate the skills that I've learned in the military? I mean, I was a pilot, and I didn't go to the airlines. It wasn't something that I wanted to do as an airline pilot. How do you translate those skills that you've acquired in the military and translate them into something in the corporate world or wherever you want to go and do?
I want to put the same question to you, Jim, but first, back to Tim for just a second. I would think that you might be in a little different category, because if you went from high school to the Air Force Academy, then into the service, you didn't really experience the other part of the world, the civilian world, at all, did you, before coming out?
Not at all. And that was a big challenge. I mean, I would have to I experienced it through my family and through my friends that didn't go, you know, the route of the military. But, you know, personally, you know, I didn't have that experience. So it was difficult. Yeah. It was daunting. It was frustrating, too, to be somebody who had succeeded on my path, my career path to that point, and on all of a sudden facing these challenges and not understanding, you know, where this was, the path was going to lead. That was difficult.
Jim, your transition, was it similar?
So my transition was similar. I would not say Tim and I are representative here. I went from high school here in St. Louis to West Point, and I've been in uniform more of my life than I've not been in uniform. And the transition occurred last year, and I was in the job hunt, the full-on, you know, everyone talks about the networking and the trying to figure out what you do and the resume translation. And when you go to a networking interview and a hiring manager or a HR person asks you, hey, what do you want to do? What do you need done is not a good answer. And that's kind of the military mentality. So it took a long time. I was lucky to have had a couple of job offers, and I got an opportunity at UMSL and the opportunity to give back a little bit to veterans and take care of some veterans on campus seemed like the right fit for me right now. And so the transition actually worked for me, but it's not easy.
Can I say something along those lines? The program that that he's put together there at UMSL in that regard that focuses on veterans has actually helped reproduce that camaraderie, that ability to reach out to other veterans, I think, to a certain extent. And that's important, I think, on a campus. And that's really important, you know, as these folks make their transition to help smooth it. They have that community there that they could reach out to.
This is the Veterans Center.
This is the Veterans Center at UMSL.
How does it work? Just how is that structured?
Well, the Veterans Center at UMSL is a social space for student veterans. It has no authorities on campus, but it is really well connected. This is something veterans actually do really well, is connect to services and then help their peers. So we are staffed completely by student veterans. The hiring process I participated in, and there was really only four things you need to be: undergraduate, student, veteran, and successful. And we found many of them. So these students man the Vet Center from open to close of the standard day, plus a little more because UMSL's an interesting place and there's night school and lots of vets come at night. And we provide a cup of coffee, we provide a workspace, we provide a social space. Any time of the day, even into the evening, you'll find two or three people sitting in there talking to each other, having a cup of coffee, doing their homework. It just is comfortable. I'll tell you, I don't think you can replace the camaraderie. There's a hole. You can't fill that hole, but you can get something close.
You know, this part of the conversation reminds me of what I always hear professional athletes say, and that is once they've left the sport, the thing they miss the most is the locker room, where they have the chance to kind of mess around with their peers.
I would find that, and they have a common mission. They all understand the common, and they all know that there's a role that they play towards that common mission. You could have used the same words to describe the military.
Right. They're able to relate to their peers, about experiences that no one else has had, on that campus.
Kind of a closed world. This notion of Veteran Center is kind of catching on in other institutions around the country.
It is. It is. Vet Centers is the probably the standard, maybe the number one, quote-unquote, best practice right now to help take care of veterans on campus. The studies have started to show that if you can connect veterans to each other and then connect that network back to the university, then vets succeed at a greater rate than they would have on their own. And that makes sense, right? This is just a group of people. Get them connected. I'm not sure why this is earth-shattering news, but it is.
It's just been pointed out to me that Southwestern College over in Belleville has a similar kind of
– They have. They've recently stood up one too, and they have a very large veteran population.
You know, we've done programs on and about and with veterans over the years, and one of the things that keeps coming up is how employable veterans are because of the skills that they do acquire. Now, maybe not everyone is a pilot as Tim is over here, but the fact is that they do engage in certain skills that their civilian counterparts don't have. Therefore, they're more desirable as employees. You're kind of suggesting this may not be the case?
I would suggest that that is the case. However, it is tough for a hiring manager to look at a veteran and understand how that veteran fits in the box they need. It is the top end, the best companies they're able to hire for potential. Most companies hire on what you can do for me now. Prove me by what you did before. And that doesn't match well.
Tim, are they afraid? Are they afraid of some veterans that they might come back with PTSD or something like that, and that they can't see that and that it could erupt, explode, whatever, in the workplace?
I think that that is something that has been discussed in public circles without a doubt, but I think that is an irrational fear for the most part. I think it's just a lack of understanding what a veteran can bring to the company or to the organization. You have tremendous training opportunities in leadership and organizational skills, in crisis management, technical skills across the board that that you might not get anywhere else. It's especially at such a young age. I think that you've seen a lot of companies become successful with integrating veterans, those who actually hire a veteran to help the corporate body understand what they should be looking for in the veterans that they're trying to hire. And there's several companies that have done that, and it has helped them tremendously. But fundamentally, I think I understand where you're coming from with, and that I think is just a fundamental misunderstanding. And granted, there's going to be cases where you have to consider that there are challenges in that regard with some veterans, but I would say that is the exception rather than the rule without a doubt.
I have to take a break. Can you quickly tell me what can be done to convince potential employers otherwise that this really is a group that they should be tapping into?
Well, I think people are actually starting to work on it. I mean, there are now some tax benefits for hiring a veteran. That's the first thing. Now, I would never want a veteran to be hired because they're the token for the tax benefit. But this is a good step. There are plenty of major corporations who are working very hard to hire veterans. People are starting to understand this.
That's good news. We have to take a break. Let's do that now. We're talking about the disconnect between American civilian society and our veterans, both active duty and those who have completed their military service. My guests in studio are Jim Craig, chair of the Department of Military and Veterans Studies at the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Tim Welter is a former staff member of the House Veterans Affairs Committee. Back to continue the conversation in just a moment. If you have experience with this disconnect, give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org or a tweet at STL on air. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again, and welcome back to our conversation about the disconnect between our veterans and the rest of society. Is there a disconnect? Our guests today, Jim Craig and Timothy Welter, both veterans themselves, claim it. In fact, there is just such a disconnect. With this problem, if we can call it a problem, and I guess it is, how much of it is the responsibility of the vet, him or herself?
That's a great question. Yeah. Veterans are not immune from being part of this issue. Even the Veterans Center itself may be something that's from an academic sense, problematic. You want to build the connection among veterans, but that connection has to then connect back to what you're trying to do, or else you're in an echo chamber. And the veterans cannot sit back and say, no one understands me or what I can provide, and then expect other people to get it. They have to help share. They have to share what they can provide in a constructive manner that matches with what our society, how our society and our business world works. And it's tough to do.
Well, we've kind of focused on employment, but there are other issues as well. I mean, employment isn't the only aspect of the civilian world.
No, it is not. It is not. And we're starting to teach courses about this at UMSL, and we're talking about history. We're talking about political science and politics. We're talking about veterans and how they do – how they fit into rhetoric and writing. There's all sorts of art and literature for sure.
And Don, to go to that initial question that you asked too, you know, whether or not it's a responsibility of the veteran, to an extent, that's what the VA is supposed to be providing, is help with that reintegration, helping making sure that veteran is prepared to make that transition from active duty to status of being a veteran to a certain extent, depending on what their situation is. And we've seen some missteps. We've seen some victories along that path. But fundamentally, that is why the VA exists, right? Is to help with that transition to a certain extent.
You've really opened up a can of worms when you bring the VA into the conversation, given all that's been going on with the Veterans Administration.
I agree with that. And again, I think there's been some victories made, and there's been some serious challenges, especially recently. In that regard, and it's nothing. Unfortunately, it's nothing new. It's just a different set of problems that we've seen. But fundamentally, that is what the charge of the VA is, to help make sure that happens. And there's been some good things, especially with these last conflicts, with regard to retraining of veterans to use the skills that they've learned in the military. And how do you translate those skills into something that I can use in the corporate world, in the private world? There's all sorts of opportunities in that regard. You don't hear about the good things that they're doing necessarily, because it's usually outweighed, unfortunately, these days by the challenges that they have had.
Well, go ahead.
I was going to say, and let's not forget, the VA, with all its challenges, is the administrator for the GI Bill. And the GI Bill, from its inception in 43 and in different iterations, has been probably the most successful education program in our country. And it continues to be today.
I guess it was 2008, I think, that Tim, you were involved somehow in the discussion, at least, of the most recent GI Bill, were you not?
I was on the Hill when that whole process went through, and I think Jim's right. I mean, we've seen a tremendously successful effort to educate our veterans through that program, and the post 9/11 GI Bill is probably one of the most generous benefits that have been given to our veterans, and they've been able to use that to help them with that transition, and if they want to share with their dependents to moving forward, so they can move forward as a family.
So it's meeting the needs of today's veterans.
I would say that I can't say that definitively, but I think it's definitely – it's another tool in the toolbox to help these veterans. Because, you know, one of the things it has done is that it has expanded – you know, it's not just pure college classes that they can use, if I'm not mistaken. They could use it for other forms of education that'll help them with that transition.
Let's get a couple of calls, and we have folks who want to get into the conversation. We'll start with Jonathan. He's using his cell. I hope he's not driving. Jonathan, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm actually at home right now, so thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. I separated from active duty about a year ago and went straight into the reserve, and have recently found a full-time job here in St. Louis City working, and I found that there are a lot of groups that are focusing on networking for veterans and helping them transition into the corporate world. And there are a lot of great resources out there that I was able to use, and a lot of online resources as well through the VA, like you mentioned before. But also some of the social media websites too have been very helpful in terms of connecting veterans with other veterans in the community as well.
Care to respond, Jim? Go ahead.
I think it's fantastic. I mean, and I think that's right. The interesting thing that we're starting to see about younger veterans is younger veterans are connecting with each other, as you might expect, with social media a lot more than they are going to the meeting hall. And these things seem to be working.
You talk about the meeting hall. I saw something today someone sent me with regard to a lot of the younger vets are kind of turned off by the way they're received by the VFW and other veterans organizations. So they're starting to kind of their own – going their own way in that regard.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you can characterize – I know some vets, and I think I read the same article, are uncomfortable in the meeting
right.
halls and that
mm-hmm.
experience. But some are – some have said, well, the meeting hall is what we have, and we also need to take active leadership roles and make these things fit our generation. But what we have found is kind of a new breed of veteran service organizations. These veteran service organizations focus around service to the community rather than talking about our issue. And I don't want to say rather than, but they focus on service to the community. They use social networks to do this. I'm talking about right here in St. Louis. The Mission Continues is a fantastic example of what I would call the new breed of VSOs, Team Red, White, and Blue. Is another type. You can't find a Team Red, White, and Blue office.
Mm-hmm.
These people meet and they support each other through physical activity, and they do great.
Did you want to add something?
I'm glad to hear that Jonathan's had a good experience. One of the things I think that a lot of veterans actually have a challenge with, based on what he said, is the fact that there are so many tools out there.
It's very true.
And trying to figure out which one to use. Department of Labor has several tools on top of VA, on top of all the VSOs. I mean, there's just so much out there, and trying to figure out which one works best for you, I think, is really a challenge for a lot of folks.
Only a couple of minutes left. I want to get Howard in, calling from Florissant. He's a 20-year vet, and he's transitioning. Go ahead, Howard.
I transitioned over 20 years ago after having been an heavy equipment operator in the Army Engineers from 1972 until 1992. When I retired as a heavy equipment operator and a supervisor, when I went to the local construction companies around St. Louis, the big ones with the earth movers and the dozers operating everywhere you looked, they wouldn't hire me unless I went to the union. The union wouldn't let me join them unless I took their apprenticeship program. They would have hired me at the apprenticeship program as an instructor at $8 an hour.
Howard.
At the time, with a wife and two daughters, it was not a wage
not
that
tenable.
I could live on.
Yeah. Howard, thank you for the call. It just tells me, and I know, Tim, you want to respond, that there have been problems in the past. It's not only a current issue.
Right, and this is something from my experience on the Hill that it's still a challenge. You have these certifications that are required by the state or by communities, especially for, very skilled labor folks like Howard have a great skill that they've brought from the military, but are frustrated by the fact that they have some bureaucratic roadblocks that they have to overcome, and they're not able to reap the benefits of that. And there's been progress in this, but a lot of it's incumbent upon the states or the localities to make sure that rather than at the federal level. But those efforts have been made, and it's still a big challenge, though.
Only about 30 seconds left. I want to point out your event tonight at 6:30 at the University of Missouri St. Louis, the J.C. Penney Conference Center. A panel will discuss this disconnect between our military and U.S. society. A final thought in 10 seconds from you, Jim, on that and where it takes us.
Well, I'd invite everyone to come out. The other thing I'd mention is that the executive director of the Institute for Veterans and Military Families out of Syracuse, which is the largest kind of think tank working on these issues, is coming to speak with us at that time. So we're excited to have him.
I want to thank you both, Jim Craig and Timothy Walter, for being with us today. Good luck with your conference tonight or your panel tonight.
Thank you.
And in your work in the future. Thank you.